Hello and welcome to the Message Makeover podcast brought to you by the Latimer Group, the experts in persuasive communication. I'm Dan Cooney and I'm joined today by my colleagues Dean Brenner and Amy Fenollosa. Last week was a painful one for the country, so we'll skip the small talk on this episode. The Senate Judiciary Committee conducted a contentious hearing on Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to be an Associate Justice on the Supreme Court. At that hearing, Christine Blasey Ford alleged Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her while they were teenagers in the summer of 1982. The Judiciary Committee called a hearing under unusual circumstances that harkened back to the Anita Hill hearing almost 30 years ago. Both Ford and Kavanaugh made statements and were questioned during the hearing. Ford gave dramatic, raw testimony about what she remembered about the alleged attack, and Kavanaugh made an emotional rebuttal and vehemently denied the allegation. Dean, help us set the tone for today's episode.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation today, but we also, the three of us, have talked about before we sat down today that this is also a dangerous topic. And anything political in today's world is dangerous, we believe, to talk about because it's very easy to alienate. So I thought it would be appropriate if we just laid out a few ground rules, not only for the three of us, but also for our listeners, so they know what we're trying to accomplish here. And we're going to talk today about communication style and credibility and how effective we thought the two participants were, Kavanaugh and Ford. But you know, my advice to our group and to our, you know, warning to our listeners is that we're going to try and stay away from any opinion on guilt and who we believe or don't believe. We're going to try and stay away from any acknowledgement of what our personal politics might be and try and stay away from any acknowledgement of who we might like or not like or anything like that. And I think this is a very important conversation, but I also think it's important that we try and do this in as an agenda-free tone as possible. So, and I think we can, and I think it's important to talk about these issues.
Maybe we can set an example here if we do it. If we do it, all right. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. While we will try to navigate around the politics as much as possible here at the Message Makeover, we do want to dig into the idea of credibility. As coaches, we all agree that credibility is critical. So let's start this off by asking you, Dean, why is credibility so important to establish?
As we say in a lot of our workshops and as I've said many times when I'm coaching somebody, quote, credibility is everything. You know, when somebody finds you credible, their default is going to be to believe you or to go with what you're recommending or to, you know, give you the support that you seek. When they don't find you credible, their default is to disagree or to not give you what you want. So before we even get into message and all the other things we're going to talk about today and body language and, you know, so much of communication today is a battle for credibility. Like, am I believable? Am I likable? Am I connecting with my audience? And if you lose that battle, it's almost like nothing else matters. There's a quote we use, and it's been attributed to a lot of people. I see it most often attributed to Dwight Eisenhower. Credibility, when you have it, nothing else matters. When you don't have it, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything.
It's great.
Amy, what do you think?
I think you're right on target, Dean, and I'm excited to talk about the topic. I know I was watching riveted and really intrigued by the idea of how these two people established credibility. One of them had had more of a public persona beforehand and the other didn't. So we had a single opportunity to make a judgment about someone and their character based on the way they presented themselves during these hearings. So I was intrigued. I was watching through my professional lens and thinking about how we were establishing our impressions of these people based on the way they communicated and based on the way they came across.
Yeah, this is a historical moment, and you could tell that right from the beginning. So, Amy, with the hearing in mind and credibility on top of mind, what positive things did Dr. Ford do to establish credibility in your mind?
I was really impressed with a lot of the things that she did, and I tried to think about it from our Latimer Group philosophy. When I teach executive presence, we're really interested in three components: how you communicate, how you connect with other people, and how you show confidence. So I was listening and watching from those perspectives. When I think about the way that she was communicating, she was clear, but she was also very deliberate and somewhat humble in her answers. So I listened very carefully for that to establish my credibility, my understanding of her credibility. I also heard at different times her demonstrating her knowledge of science and how that came through in establishing her credibility. She is a professor. She's an academic. She's a researcher. Yeah. And we heard that coming through. So in addition to the story that she was telling, I was curious about the facts and details she talked about from the rest of her world and her work. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. Those are all great points. I just felt the way that she approached it, right from the beginning, setting a tone of, I'm terrified. I don't want to be here. I'm here because it's my civic. I felt it was my civic duty to be here. To me, that helps establish her credibility. It's not something she wanted to do. It's something she felt she needed to do. It's responsibility to our country, to our democracy, to our society.
And by revealing to us that she was terrified, she was exposing some vulnerability. And we all know that when you show a little bit of vulnerability, people are more willing to give that back to you and reveal a little bit of themselves. And so we could all see ourselves reflected in her and understand that she was human by saying that word, I'm terrified, I'm afraid to be here.
Yeah, agreed. And now, you know, the hard part, there's a lot of hard parts in talking about this. You know, if she was authentically terrified and honestly sharing with her with us that she was terrified, then everything you guys are saying is absolutely spot on. If she was just incredibly well coached and somebody said, hey, you know what, you'll be more believable if they think you're terrified, you know, and I'm not getting into whether which one of those I thought, but like I just want to acknowledge that for both of these people, it's really hard to tell where were they being authentic, either to the good or the bad. Or where were they just really well or really badly coached?
Right.
We don't know. So let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And if we're giving her the benefit of the doubt, then I think you're absolutely right that her tone right out of the box at the beginning of her opening statement was calm. It was respectful. It was thoughtful. She did establish the credibility. She used some big words, like she used the word multifactorial at one point, I think. But I mean, she was basically saying, listen, I'm a scientist and I'm not an idiot. I know what I'm talking
right.
about.
Intelligent woman, right?
Intelligent
calm,
person worked. It
in
worked,
command.
For sure.
Were there things that diminished her credibility in any way? Can we think of any things that diminished her credibility? I mean, just thinking about she admitted to memory losses to me. Not to that she did not recall. There was important elements of the event that she could not recall. For instance, how did she get home that evening? Mm-hmm. And to me, that added to her credibility because she remembers some things with great and painful detail. She does not remember other aspects of an event that happened over 30 years ago.
And if I can interject there, she also brought to us her academic background and said, like any trauma survivor, there are certain elements that are permanently seared into your brain and other elements that you will not remember 30 years later.
Yeah, a specific part of the brain, the hippocampus. So she knows exactly how these memories are encoded.
That's a big word.
So there was added to her credibility. Yeah. I didn't see any major elements where, boy, I thought she fell down on that with regard to credibility.
Right.
No, I agree. I think and I watched her entire opening statement a couple of times, and I think she handled it beautifully. I think if there are some issues in her credibility, it had nothing to do with her performance. But you know, it could, you know, some people might choose to find her less credible for other reasons that go way beyond her performance, you mm-hmm. know, and how this happened and the timing of it. But let's not get into that. But if we stick with her performance, you know, she was calm, cool, collected, and I'm pretty sure I know where our compare and contrast is going to go over the next few minutes. Managing emotion is a very important part of building or losing credibility in this kind of a discussion because. You know, and I say this, I'm anybody who knows me personally knows I'm an emotional guy, you know, and if you are communicating that your emotions are dominating your actions or your performance, it does undercut your credibility a little bit. And her emotions were completely in check, which I thought was entirely appropriate and very effective.
And I think with a caveat, we always teach – self-awareness.
Yes.
So recognizing that this is going to be an emotional situation and understanding how you can be authentically who you are and not really squelching your emotions to the point that you're not showing the audience that you're passionate or what you care about or what you remember. So I thought she tempered her emotions well, but she came across as genuine to me.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. So, Dean, what about Judge Kavanaugh? Let's start with you. What were some of the elements of his credibility, positive or negative, in your mind?
There's a few things that jumped out at me. First of all, I thought it was interesting, and you know, if I'd love to hear if anybody else has a thought on this. Her opening statement lasted 19 minutes. His lasted 45.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is interesting. You know, we always talk about succinctness. I thought his opening statement could have been a lot tighter. It did not need to be 45 minutes long, for sure. There was some real benefit in her just saying, hey, I'm going to tell you what I think, tell you what I remember, and then I'm going to stop talking. He kept going. Here's a guy who, again, no opinion on guilt or not, he's coming across as a guy who completely believes that he has been falsely accused. So I personally give him a little bit of a pass on some of the emotion. Operative word there, underline some of the emotion. And I think that eventually his emotions got the best of him. And to me, that ended up being a problem in taking what he was saying as clear and accurate and as believable, because he kind of lost it on several occasions.
Yeah.
And again, I can't imagine the scrutiny. You know, I've never done anything on the national stage. I can't even imagine that. But you know, hey, she was there too, and there's differences there. There's differences there too. But anyway, I can't imagine that scrutiny. But he didn't manage it well.
Right. Okay, Amy, what was your take on Cav?
Well, I think they had two entirely different styles. I mean, they approached this from very different ways. And when I think about the work that I do in women's communication and understanding gender differences in communication, I think about the position that they're each coming from and the way that they're going to present their story. And these are generalizations. But typically, we see women communicating from a position of trying to establish rapport with the group of people that they're communicating with. And we see men speaking more around the power dynamic. And I saw that very clearly demonstrated from these two people during this hearing. So he came from a position of power, and he wanted to defend his honor and his integrity. Mm-hmm. And that came across very clearly. That said, some of the emotion undermined his credibility. I didn't always appreciate his response to the questions, and there's a clip we can go to if we are ready to go.
Yeah,
there.
Let's do
Dan,
that.
We'll listen to a specific clip where he is being posed a question. Let's pause here and listen.
And in your written testimony, you said sometimes you had too many drinks. Was there ever a time when you drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened or part of what happened the night before?
No, I remember what happened, and I think you've probably had beers, Senator, and so.
So you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
That's, you're asking about, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
Could you answer the question, Judge? That's not happened. Is that your answer?
Yeah, and I'm curious if you have.
I have no drinking problem, Judge.
Yeah, nor do I.
Okay. Thank you.
So I don't know what you all thought of that one. I was really shocked that he turned the table and, rather than answering the question directly, posed it back to the senator.
I found it very inappropriate. I thought it showed disrespect, and I thought it showed arrogance on his part. And I didn't think it didn't accrue to his total credibility. Now, to be fair to him, he came back and he did apologize for that very remark. So he had contained himself. He had let the emotions get away from him, and then he made the apology. So I give him great credit for that.
Yeah, that clip that we just listened to it speaks really well to, I think, something that came out during his opening statement as well, where for the first three and a half minutes of his opening statement, he's defending himself. You can see he's emotional. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, I'm giving this guy a little bit of a pass. But about 3.5 minutes in, he'd started doing what he also does in this question, this clip we just listened to, where he's really no longer – he's trying to shift the focus away from himself being, quote unquote, on under the spotlight, under scrutiny. And he's putting the process and the senators under scrutiny, and he wants to make it about them. And while I guess I can see why one might try that, I don't know that the person who's sitting at the table being, you know, questioned in a confirmation hearing, that's not your job. Leave that to somebody else to question the process or to question the senators or, you know, get into all of the conspiracy theories. He went into a lot of things about the opposition party and things that he believed were being done to him, true or not true. I think by turning the question back on that senator, by trying to make this about them rather than himself, I guess I see the strategy, but I think it backfired.
Well, I would think – I felt it was a strategic mistake, because if you were going to do that, if that was what you were coming out with, turning it back, putting the process on trial, putting – you know, and couching it in a partisan way, which yeah. I think is fair to say, why would you do it when you the allegation against you is assault and against a woman – and he takes this aggressive tone against
a woman,
Senator Klobuchar.
I think that it was a knee-jerk defensive reaction.
Yes.
I'm not sure that it was a planned, thoughtful strategy, but it comes back to self-awareness and his preparation for this day. And if he understood that he was going to be questioned around sensitive topics, I don't think the approach is get defensive and start questioning the questioner.
Totally.
I think the approach is – pause, listen, understand the question, and respond honestly.
Totally.
I don't think getting reactive and being defensive is a way to establish more credibility, particularly given the job that he's now being considered for.
Right. Well, that's my point. I think my bottom line is he, in that moment, if I was to coach him, I would say you have to speak, act, and behave like you are already a member of the Supreme Court, the body, the august body that you want to join. Of course you're going to be. If you're wrongly accused of that, speaking as a man, if I'm accused wrongly of something like that, there is going to be emotion. But you are a 53, 50-something-year-old man being considered for the highest court in the land, one of the most powerful positions. You have to be able to show that emotion and be defend yourself articulately with power, and yet you have to show some control.
Totally. And you know, this podcast is called The Message Makeover. So let's play with that for a second. Can you imagine if he had come out and instead taken a tone and a message that was more like this? You know, clearly Dr. Ford has been through a traumatic experience. I completely respect that. That should never happen to anyone. And I resent the fact that that happens to any woman anywhere. This week has been hard on my family. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more. But the bottom line is I categorically deny what I've been accused of. And I can deny what I've been accused of and at the same time, you know, feel very strongly that what happened to Dr. Ford should not have happened to her, and I feel for her. Like, can you imagine if he came out with a tone like that?
And maybe spend a couple of minutes talking about how sexual assault is a real problem.
Absolutely.
In
he
our
never touched that at all.
In our country.
Never touched that at all.
This is tearing our country apart.
Yeah.
And it's not – thinking about as a person who is trying to be uniting the country.
Yeah. There was no – even if he thinks he's been wrongly accused by her, even if he thinks that she is completely been put up to this, there was a great tactic that he missed where he could have been entirely empathetic not only towards her but to the entire population of people who have ever been assaulted in any way. And he missed it.
He missed it.
Missed it completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dean and Amy, we always end the show with a key coaching takeaway. Dean?
Well, I'll go back to where we started. And you know, credibility is everything. I'm sure that there were 100 other factors that went on behind the scenes in the decisions and the discussions about that hearing that was going to be held and what he was going to say and who was coaching him. There's a lot we don't know. But the bottom line is whenever you're the one taking the microphone, especially under intense scrutiny, you have to be thinking about how do I make myself as believable as possible? And the bottom line for me is there were a couple of critical mistakes that he made that put him on the defensive and make people whose minds are not already made up question him.
Yep, I agree. Amy?
I agree with you too, Dean, and I think that it's really an opportunity for all of us to think about how we represent ourselves, and I bring it back to the idea of self-awareness, and each of those two individuals has to be highly self-aware to be in the positions that they are in, and the more you can reflect on the way the circumstances and the situation are going to make you feel, the better prepared you're going to be to react and respond appropriately. I think the preparation part of it and the self-reflection piece of it are the two elements that are hard to teach and hard to think about as you're preparing for this kind of a testimony. But those are the two things that are going to allow you to come across as authentic and genuine and believable.
Especially when the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Especially.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Amy and Dean. That does it for this edition of The Message Makeover. We thank our whole team at the Latimer Group, including Whitney Sweeney, Hannah Morris, Kendra Gukas, and especially our producer, Brett Slater, and the always beautiful pastoral gem that is Wiscasset, Maine. We love audience questions, so tweet those questions to us at the Latimer Group. We'll be listening well for them. Until then, see you next time on The Message Makeover.
The Message Makeover podcast is presented by the Latimer Group, the experts in persuasive communication, corporate training, and executive coaching delivered with impact. For more information on the Latimer Group and for more episodes of the Message Makeover podcast, look for us on iTunes, Google Play, and online at thelatimergroup.com.